What's up, everybody? I'm here today with a new podcast on the Matt Rich podcast. I'm here today with my two good friends, Kane and Kevin Stahelski. How you guys doing today?
Oh, very good.
I'm doing great, man. Cool. It's been a while.
Good to have you guys on. So what's new in this world? I know everything's been slow with the COVID and stuff. How's COVID been treating you? How was 2020 for you, I should ask?
2020 was very tumultuous, to say the least.
What did you say? What was that word?
Is that a censored word?
No, what is that word?
Tumultuous.
Tumultuous. What is that?
Tumultuous, meaning filled with hardships along the way. Definitely an uphill battle along the way.
Tumultuous, new word for the day. Okay, yeah, mine was very tumultuous, too. How about yours, Kane?
Same way, man.
Ups and downs, yeah.
Ups and downs, definitely.
Yeah, what was the best thing about 2020 for you?
Stimulus, I guess.
Stimulus, that's it?
The money.
I enjoyed the time off. It made me realize how, like, busy I always am and how much, like, just how bored I am of being bored. Like, it made me appreciate, like, the time I get, you know, in between all the busy time.
They have done already, because you know how America is, anything that they can make money off of with the information that they receive from it. They've already done psychological studies on how quarantining people at home affected their lifestyles and how it affected their health. Of course they were going to do that right away because they had the opportunity to do it while people were in action doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So why not jump on that point? Some billionaire probably is like, oh yeah, I'll throw some money at that. Mm-hmm. And that's how it happened. Of course, in America.
So they did a study on people being...
They did a study, yes. Couple articles came out. Can't remember the magazine that put them out, or the website that put them out, but to the effect that people became more centered around their homes. Sales at Menards and Home Depot went up because people started to do home improvements and stuff that they had normally put off in the past years, which makes total sense.
Oh, yeah.
From American consumers and point of view.
I know a lot of people.
How did relationships go?
Relationships were strained. Were strained. Some did come closer. There was actually an increase in domestic dispute calls to the police after the quarantining rules, and they did point that out too as well.
Yeah, probably because stress of job loss and
all those factors did play a part, and then being around each other all the time. Throughout the day, and being confined to the house,
especially
not being able to go anywhere.
Especially with, like, women or guys that are up to date and don't know why, you know, their spouse can't get a job or why they're doing that and stuff like that.
And then having four kids to look after and a giant house and a mortgage.
Yeah, freaking out, not knowing the actual situation, why they can't, you know, why it's hard to do what you want to do.
It's crazy because I feel like, so not to get too conspiratorial, and these are all what ifs and hypotheticals that we're going to get into, but... It seemed like everyone knew that something like this was inevitably coming when it comes to a pandemic, like an outbreak. It was just a matter of when. Like Bill Gates did that crazy speech years back on how what we should prepare for after H1N1, and it's been a couple of near-close encounters before with other viruses, but it's crazy to think, like, what's happening long-term.
Well, this is where the conspiracy theories get their origin, is because they've always believed that elite people have information that we don't, the normal average people in the street don't have. Mm-hmm. They have all this money, they have all this power.
But that would make sense, strings.
Okay, so that would make sense. Yeah. And Bill Gates, one of the wealthiest people in the world at one time.
Yeah.
No longer, but used to be.
Yeah.
And so that's not a force to just be dismissed. Mm-hmm. Him and his wife, I'll tell you what, they seem pretty genuine, though. They contribute to a lot of charities.
They do.
And it seems that they're pretty humanitarian in their efforts. It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of other billionaires that would just be sipping champagne on a yacht right now. So, I mean, and they're out there trying to do stuff.
True.
Not that they don't do that in between. But, you know, there's a lot that are just doing that all the time and not even contributing. And for me, it's because they came from humble origins. I'm not sure about his wife. I don't know much about his wife. But I know about Gates, you know, came from fucking middle class, you know, family just like we did.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And
Elon Musk is doing a lot. He's been doing a lot this year.
Elon Musk too, as well.
It's cool when you especially see those types of people.
You know, these people have a vision, and they have so much power and money to pull it off, and that's just so great. And that's what I think makes. That's what I believe in, and that's why I have so much faith in the American system, is because people who have visions like that can do it without hindrance of government and being taxed to death or possibly being spied on. Not that that doesn't happen in this country, but this is actually still one of the most secure countries where you can pull things off like that, of that nature.
So, yeah, the individual can succeed beyond
even the government. We're a capitalist society. We're set up that way. Now, people may not agree with it because of the wealth being concentrated in so few in this country, but you know what? That's always been throughout history.
Yeah.
It's nothing new.
Yeah. Isn't that dangerous, though, for people who are maybe necessarily have bad intentions or people with...
Yes. That's where the conspiracies, I think, uproot from. Ever since the assassination of JFK, we've always had a general belief that people with elite power are controlling the strings from above.
Yeah, yeah.
And that has been reinforced ever since the assassination of JFK. I think what reinforced it even more was when his younger brother was killed, too.
Okay.
See, you know?
Yeah.
5 years later.
Yeah.
How many, you know, I think it was 68, right? And it just, it reinforces it. And you know what? A lot of Vietnam veterans and stuff that I ran into in my times of college, growing up, in my family, they were all, after Kennedy, conspiracy theory really took up root in this country.
Yeah.
Okay, and there was a lot to it because something did not right. You know.
And that's when the CIA coined the term conspiracy theory or conspiracy theorist.
As a way to disinfo the people trying to seek the truth.
To make it look foolish and to make it...
To discredit.
So my question would be, these people who are these humanitarians who basically try to use their money or power or influence to better the world, to push humanity and society in a more progressive direction, right? I keep that ball rolling with evolution. So
these are usually called think tanks.
Yeah, but these people, right? Are they the ones actually watching over us? Are their intentions actually pretty good? Because we look at them like they're like these all-seeing eye Illuminati that
the think tanks and the people that are trying to manipulate stuff, they're still getting powers from higher above higher above within themselves. I mean, there are some people that are that delusional where they think that they are getting a calling from a higher power to perform these actions here on this earth. Yeah.
One of the religions that I really, I know it's one of the ones that I hear a lot of good things about, but I know that it can't be as good as it sounds, but I feel like it's like a sexy religion, is Satanism. Like, what is so good about that? What is so enticing about Satan?
Okay, Satan is brought in as an evil archetype in the Old Testament. Okay, there's no doubt about that. But here's what throws it off kilter. If you look at the writings of Zechariah Sitchin, who interpreted the Sumerian cuneiform tablets, the Sumerians were the oldest civilization, advanced civilization in correct. Archaeology can confirm. And they all suddenly sprang up in the middle of Iraq, essentially, today, present-day Iraq, with a sewer system, a legal system, and everything. Like, and without no precedent before it.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, to be at least confirmed. And that has always baffled archaeologists to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And they find some like remnants and some precursors, like some. But what they find is that they find advanced civilizations had existed maybe 4,000 or 5,000 years prior, and all of a sudden, then this comes along.
Yeah,
they're finding traces of very advanced civilizations around that area in Turkey, not far from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, with a construction that
predates the flood.
Oh, correct.
Yeah, predates the ancient
and is very much more advanced than anything that the Sumerians or anything since have built.
Yes.
So that's unexplainable in that aspect. And with that comes, you know, okay, so where did the Sumerians pop up from? You know, did they come from these advanced civilizations? Were just supplanted there? Which kind of a lot of the evidence points to that, but we can't say conclusively. But Zechariah Sitchin talked about how in the Old Testament there are certain, the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Yes.
It's the plot and everything, storyline. If you just change the names of the characters around, it's very similar to the Noah.
Yeah, very, very. And for those of you who are familiar, Epic of Gilgamesh was basically King Gilgamesh traveled to find immortality, and he was trying to find immortality, and he came across people on an island who supposedly were pre-flood individuals who survived the flood, and told him the story of maybe it's the king.
Zeasudra.
Yeah,
was the name of Noah.
Okay.
If you take Zeasudra's name in the story and supplant Noah, it's pretty much the story of the flood.
Yeah.
And that it was something unescapable when I had read it.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some correlation in the Persian religions, Greek religions, and the Egyptian religions before the time of Jesus. They all had sun gods. They were all born of a virgin. They all had 12 apostles. These numbers keep popping up in other repetitive early religions, mm-hmm, of countries of that time. And this is not a coincidence. This is something that was going on, I believe, from a spiritual nature and a higher dimensional level that was being manipulating this third dimensional level. Mm. Absolutely.
So where do you think Satanism would fall in?
Satan was actually seen as the liberator. If you go back to Helen Blavatsky in the theological movement of the late 1800s, which Hitler was definitely involved in.
Okay.
He was very interested in the Theosophy movement because Helena Blavatsky definitely had learned to do meditations and go inward from the adepts in India. It's very obvious because of the progression of her writings.
Okay.
And Helena Blavatsky said, if you really look at the story metaphorically, the first person to question authority, the first person to show hatred, the first person to question authority was Satan, but the first person to show hatred was Jehovah.
Hmm. Jehovah.
Who's that? He was the first person to show violence. Jehovah.
Is that another?
Jehovah's. Yahweh. Who's Yahweh that? In the Hebrew religion is how it's pronounced. Yahweh.
Okay, Yahweh. Is that their God?
Jehovah.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yahweh.
Oh, okay.
Yahweh was actually, they've already found from archaeological records, he was an ancient Babylonian storm god. Now, there's another guy from Ireland, Michael Sarion, who does intense reading and interpretations of symbology and the ancient religions and the ancient gods that were worshipped. And there's something that's similar with their symbology, and he pointed it out, and most other historians hadn't caught on to it by then. Michael Sarion, he's Irish. He pointed out that Yahweh was an ancient Babylonian storm god. And the symbol associated with him was lightning bolt. Now, what other head pantheon of gods do we know that is associated with lightning bolt? Zeus.
Yeah, Zeus.
Thank you.
So Zeus comes way later, though.
Not only that, Viracocha from South America, the lightning bolt, was also associated with him. He's one of the head pantheon of the South American gods.
Okay.
That he pointed out right away, and that is a mysterious coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Three, really separated by continents.
Yeah, and time.
All with the same symbol,
yeah.
Lightning bolt.
Hmm.
And this is what they say in esoteric writings. Is symbology is always higher in the dimensional form of language than speech.
Okay.
Symbology speaks, a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
So it's more advanced, it's more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
It can speak more words with just the symbols. So they say any higher advanced civilizations usually practice symbology, which I believe, because anything that predates the flood is all symbology, which what they claim was the Atlantean civilization was one language. This goes into the story of the Tower of Babel, where the god confused their languages so they couldn't understand each other.
Hmm.
That's the metaphor with that one.
Interesting. So where does Satanism come in?
Satan was considered one of the first... He was considered actually one of the first compassionate angels of humankind, but he was labeled a different way.
So why do people follow Satanism now?
Because they believe that Satan was the original liberator of humankind. And that he was always labeled as the reptile in the Garden of Eden that spoiled paradise for humans.
Because you get two things when you hear of like a Satanist, you either think of someone who's like sacrificing animals, or you think of someone who's like,
who believes but is in, like, it is this really is this things. Is this really disinformation?
Like, what's true?
They know, like, the Satanists were Wicca groups. They worshipped the earth rather than heavenly realms.
Okay.
Which is why the pentagram was his symbol. Now, we do know the six-pointed star is the symbol of what? The Star of David of the Judaism.
Yeah, that's weird.
Who's Satan, who's not? This is where the disinfo campaign comes in.
Hmm.
Now, from everything that I've studied, symbology does have a strong force, but it's also subject to interpretation. And I believe that if the people believe the power of the symbol, that's what reinforces the symbol and gives it its power. If people are not on the same page, then that symbol no longer holds that power. Our minds are more powerful than we give them credit for.
Hmm.
It's our belief in that symbol as a power source that gives it power.
Okay. So.
So if we can emulate a certain symbol where people worship it as a power source, then yes, we can enrich that symbol with power. That is, I believe, how symbology works.
Really?
It has to work with human consciousness and with its intent and with its permission.
Hmm. So do you think there is, as you said earlier, something underlining that is manipulating this third dimension
It's the fourth dimension, which is the astral realm.
So you think they're directly manipulating this realm?
As far as I've read from esoteric writings, ghosts and spiritual demons, spiritual ghosts, things of that nature can appear to us to our limited five senses if they lower their vibration.
Hmm.
Okay. People who commit suicide, according to the Buddhist religion, will have to suffer to live in the astral realms in this physical plane existence until their negotiated time of death. They say in between lives, we negotiate and we prearrange everything that's going to happen in our life, the choices that are going to come up, the decisions are going to be made to us so that we can spiritually evolve to ascend. That is our basic motivation. This is based on the Law of One book series,
okay,
which are channeled messages from the early 1980s and late 1970s through pretty much scientific researchers.
Hmm.
Can't remember their names right now. I'll get back to that. I can get you on that. But anybody who knows Law of One knows that they're associated with David Wilcock. He's on Ancient Aliens. Yeah. He's like he's the foremost authority on scientific explanations supporting the Law of One.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, David Wilcock is he's an out there guy.
Which I'm very familiar with all of his.
Yeah, me too. He's got some cool ideas about.
Read a couple of his books.
So. Have you?
Yeah.
He's got a cool thing about the secret space program.
Yes, that they talk about. Corey Good with Corey Good.
Have you heard about this?
Corey Good was actually able to supply a complete catalog of animals and other life forms that existed underneath the caves, that they were translucent because they didn't receive sunlight. And his stuff is pretty scientifically accurate, I would have to say.
It is, but it's also, I mean,
it's very vague.
It's also He's also a good science sci-fi writer.
Trust me, I've already looked at all this and I've researched it from every angle.
Yeah.
But he has so pretty good damn information.
Yeah, his stories
plus,
are cool.
His stuff goes in line with other stories and sightings that have been reported throughout history. That you can kind of go along and fake. I get it to a certain point, but you can't follow everything, man.
Yeah.
There is some consistency there that makes it believable.
Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
Correct.
For those of you who don't know what the Secret Space Program is, it is
conspiracy theory about our United States government engaging in a secret space program offshoot where nobody in our current bureaucratic environment is watching them
It's basically a secret space program that was created back in the like 70s or 60s and we've been going to the moon and we've been going to other livable galaxies and we've actually expanded for a long time now, and we kind of reach farther than we've thought in the galaxy.
And like they're trying to really get us on the asteroid belt, which is they said would be more efficient. They said it'll be more efficient, more safer than going like on Mars or something.
Really?
Which I don't get.
Moving asteroids.
I read an article, man. I wish I would have.
I know they're trying to mine asteroids too, which is absolutely wild to think like, that, dude. We're gonna start colonizing the universe in like
a couple
hundred years. Yeah, it is. It literally is.
Star Wars is out all day yesterday, and me and Kevin are watching it and debating on shit like
that. Really?
Yeah,
dude. I think that maybe we, our lineage of human beings, stretches way farther than our what technology's we thought.
Getting way way more advanced, man. Like
yeah,
we thought it was gonna be sooner, but it's coming later. You know.
Yeah. Like, we might even just be like an incubation planet where, you know, there are civilizations of humans and colonies of human beings in the universe that we're just not on their level of being yet.
How the law of one states it is that our Earth is a quarantine planet, but it's also a very rich genetic zoo library, if you will.
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Where they pretty much elaborate that all life forms that are present on Earth have a humanoid form somewhere else in the universe. That's why the Sphinx was built. That's why there are stories in mythology of humanoid reptilians that are human form with green scaly skin and have the features of reptilian, but they're still humanoid form, arms, legs, two arms, like bipedal, walking upright.
So like deer human deers?
Centaurs, things of Greek mythology, were actually... they kind of explain this too. They say that they were remnants of the memories of the times of Atlantis, when in certain civilizations in the times of Atlantis were doing things that were against nature. They were crossbreeding humans with animals.
Really?
Centaurs, half heads, half goats. You know, you realize that in Egyptian pantheon there are gods that have these features. They theorize that the ones that passed on the Egyptian dynasty were practicing these evil acts.
I've heard that they were actually responsible in psychedelics. They were like, they're called philanthropes. Philanthropes, and they're like human mixed animal gods that visit you in psychedelic trips.
The South America, I believe there may have been some Mesopotamian, African, or Asian religions that talked about this, but the ones that I know of offhand are South American religions that talk about these half jaguar, half animal beings through their influence, through their experiences with psychedelic drugs. We know that they had used DMT, ayahuasca, psilocybin mushrooms, which were present in natural environments down there in the jungle.
Yeah.
So we know that they were using entheogens to advance their system of religion.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to point out, Terence McKenna did a rich study of it, and he wrote a book called Plant of the Gods, where he studied the benefits of ayahuasca on a tribe. And essentially what the shaman would do is he would put himself in an ayahuasca state of mind.
Yeah.
Inebriated state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
To go and talk to the spirits of the plants and talk to the spirit of the jungle to figure out a cure for whatever was ailing the tribe.
And it, actually, they say that that's where a lot of their knowledge comes from that.
Correct. Here's the thing. Humans don't practice something for a long time unless it works. Mm-hmm. They practice this for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Now, that leads me to believe that something in the spiritual nature, they were onto something and they were actually gaining knowledge from... blending their physical and spiritual nature of their bodies into one. They did get corrupted along the way. We know this because when Spaniards invaded South America, they saw them ripping the hearts out of live bodies at the top of the pyramids.
That would have been a crazy sight to walk up on, bro.
Now,
can you imagine?
They confirmed this in writings, and that's why the Mayans and all those South American Indian tribes were conceived. They were perceived.
Get rid of them.
They were perceived as Satan worshiping. They were perceived as Satan worshiping. As far as the Christianic religion, they were all perceived as Satan worshiping.
Even back then, all the way back.
That'd be sketchy, bro. You roll up, and they're like all ripping out hearts on a giant pyramid in the middle of the jungle. Like, oh my god!
Yeah.
No.
Oh god! I thought it was ghastly.
I can't even imagine that. And weren't they like a really heavily influenced on psilocybin? That was, and I know in history, that was a culture that is known to use psilocybin very negatively. They used it to influence their culture and their people into believing so much in their gods and fearing so much in their gods that they would
They would self-sacrifice. That does, I've never heard that before, but that makes complete sense because the priests that understood what was going on, if they could use psilocybin as a brainwashing tool, I don't doubt that men in power who want to keep their power would use that to their advantage. Yes. There is no doubt in my mind that that has been done throughout history.
Yeah, it's still being done right now. The CIA did it with freaking MK Ultra.
Correct.
I was wondering where it was.
So it doesn't doubt me one bit when you say that.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. No, it doesn't shock me
one
bit.
It's literally been happening.
Actually, it makes sense.
Yeah, MK Ultra was crazy. Not a lot of people know about MK Ultra.
No, I don't actually.
No.
Dude, MK Ultra, they've had they were doing studies even up in Canada. There was this one lady up there that was injected with LSD straight into her bloodstream.
Oh, okay, yeah,
and she started flinging herself on either side of the room. Didn't know what the hell was going on. They said, "Okay, Doris, whatever her name was, bye bye. We'll see you later."
Yeah.
And right after they injected her with whatever. She said she started to fling herself on either side of the room because that was the only way she could get relief from what was going on in her body. And then she would lay down on the ground. She felt like her bones were just melting into the foundation of the building.
Yeah, and they did these to people unwillingly.
Oh, correct. These tests, correct.
The government, the CIA.
And this woman was actually able to prove it, and she got a settlement for millions of dollars from the Canadian government.
Do you know what else is the MK Ultra has cooked up? So the little that we know about it, because the documents were all destroyed, but the little that was recovered, we know about some of the methods that they would use to brainwash people, about like playing like 100 million times the same tune over and over and over again. And
as a trigger.
Yeah, as a trigger.
The Pavlovian response. Exactly, they were very in tune to the Pavlovian response of humans.
Yes.
They were very in tune to that. And the MK Ultra program was theoretically, conspiratorically, derived from German programs.
I wouldn't doubt it, man. It's probably not
Operation
behind it.
Operation Paperclip was actually, they claim, responsible for the MK Ultra program sprouting out of it.
Operation Paperclip?
Yeah. Operation Paperclip, where they smuggled all the top scientists and stuff out of Nazi Germany.
Yes.
Was responsible for the formation of the MK Ultra program. After because of all the research and stuff that they brought back with them, they were able to actually use that and create the MK Ultra program.
Yeah, after World War...
Because Germany was all into that.
Yeah, after World War II, after we beat the Nazis, we created a program, Operation Paperclip, that we didn't know about until
we
years
smuggled
later.
All the top atomic scientists and everything out of there.
That's
before.
Where we got
and
Einstein.
Russia had a couple of them, but we were trying to beat Russia.
Yeah.
And we had that whole dynamic going
that's
on.
That's where we got
so
Einstein.
That's why we were rushing to the border of Germany before Russia got there.
Yeah.
Because we still had a thing going on with them.
Yeah. We got Einstein out of that Operation Paperclip, who helped us with the bomb.
Correct.
We got Werner von Braun.
Werner von Braun, the creator of NASA.
The creator of NASA came from fucking Nazi Germany from Operation Paperclip. And then on top of that, you're saying MKUltra might be tied to it. But MKUltra, something that came after MKUltra was the major increase in serial killers. And they believe the CIA, MKUltra, you know who else was included in some of those programs with LSD? Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. What they now know is Charles Manson is speculated to be involved with CIA and possibly MKUltra ties. They were literally cooking up serial killers. They were cooking up serial killers, bro.
There are some allusions to it, and you know what? You can tie a lot of things to a lot of people. And I believe that certain serial killers may have been supplanted. Certain cold cells, sleeper cells of assassins were being installed within the American mainstream culture.
Yeah.
I believe that
because
they could activate them at any time they wanted to. You have to understand, the CIA at that time was still looking for total world control and domination. I don't know if that's their agenda to this day, after them being exposed that that's their agenda. I don't know if they've shifted and changed and
but
morphed.
But the thing is, if it's not their agenda, it's someone's. So someone has to do it. And if it's not the good guys doing it, it's going to be the bad guys.
And who's to say the American guys doing it are good guys?
Yeah.
But that's the problem. Who's to say the American guys doing it are good guys?
We're not, right? You don't. You have to like.
Well, I think there's a mixture.
Analyze your ethics.
I think there's always good and bad guys. Certain people have their intentions for why they're wanting to pull out things.
Yeah.
Some for profit. Some for the better humanitarian cause. And it's just a blend of them.
Yeah.
So a couple bad apples can give the rest of the bushel a bad name.
Yeah, completely.
I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that there is some direct correlation with them messing with people's minds to the point where they were creating some sort of serial killers, at least trying to hone in what it takes to demoralize people. The byproduct was becoming serial killer.
One of the first precedents of the MKUltra program was a man that wrote a book who worked for the CIA. He was known as the Johnny Appleseed of LSD. He actually possessed LSD in a gas form.
Really?
Correct.
What?
He possessed LSD in a gas form that he distributed through subway systems in New York. Correct.
What is he, the damn scarecrow from Batman?
What he wrote in his book that he was charged to do was he was kind of a research expert. Not expert, but agent.
Yeah.
Rather. He was entrusted with a gaseous form of LSD, liquid LSD, lots of it too.
Okay.
He was told to approach USO parties.
What?
He dosed a whole USO party.
What's that?
That's where the service members go to have a little party after their basic training or things of that
nature.
Anniversary or whatever, for whatever nature. He approached a USO party and dosed a lot of the drinks. Some of the people, and he examined the effects. One person went back to their house and hung themselves. A couple people flung themselves out of windows. Other people went into seizures on the dance floor.
Whoa. All just from his gas form of LSD?
This is where he did it with liquid form. In the gas form of LSD, he did on a subway.
Huh.
He administered a tube of gas, just let it out, and watched the effects of people.
Did these people know?
No. Unwittingly.
Yeah. Did it hit him right away with the gas?
Correct. Yeah. And these people started going into seizures, acting all aberrantly. Within about 15 minutes after receiving this, 10 to 15 minutes actually, some reported as early as 5 minutes after receiving this. I guess the inhalable form, gaseous form of LSD, because it goes through the lungs, hits the bloodstream immediately. So it enters the bloodstream within 5 minutes.
Whoa. They don't have a form of that anymore, right?
Huh. They can still create it if they want to.
Really?
The CIA was trying to create a reliable method of administering it to a lot of people at one time. That's why they created a gaseous form in the 60s of LSD.
What were they going to do
with
that?
They were using LSD as a control agent, like sodium pentothal. Where they would actually dose agents on LSD and see if they could turn them into double agents, see if they could psychologically manipulate them, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Which is what ultimately led to MKUltra. Mm-hmm. These were precedent programs that were being practiced in the 60s that weren't labeled MKUltra, but which eventually led to MKUltra.
Yeah. They said that they would break down the structure of your personality through repetitive brainwashing.
They break the ego and subservient.
And then they would build you back the way that they wanted
Correct. Completely re-identify. Which can be done, and the Germans proved it. And that's why the MKUltra program and every program that was an offshoot of it was created from the information and knowledge and literature that they had gained from Operation Paperclip. And this was all included in his writings.
That's crazy because we, as societies, we have fear that the other is going to take us out, like tribal stuff.
And that's
right?
What
this literally drives
us to. The Cold War efforts and all the Cold War manipulation on either side from Russia and America, people trying to build bomb shelters in the late 50s and shit, and all the scare and the fear that was all played into the fact that they were trying to train people to react a certain way so that they can get their public favor when they needed it.
Yeah. It sucks that
it's supposed to be in the Cold War.
But it sucks that conflict is what gets us to progress so well. Like the fact that we
causes us to unite for a common cause.
But also it causes us to genetically test things in weird ways to try to be out, because we're assuming they're doing
but
it.
But that's
so it's
individual
us
aspirations
do,
doing
giving
that.
Us
that's
like,
individual aspirations
true,
pulling
but
it
we're
off.
We're trying
because
to have the upper hand.
Collectively as a group, I don't think we could. I mean, there have been instances in the past, but collectively as a group to fucking wish violence on a person, it's done in war all the time, but on a sadistic nature where you continue to torture that person for the nature of science. Now, if you bring science into it, you're bringing people who will have a level of compassion within them if they're studying science. That's hard to convince them to do it for that reason.
Yeah.
That's where the problem lies.
Huh.
You got a bunch of fucking thugs who don't know better and are ignorant. Yeah, you can get them to do anything you want all day like sheep. Mm-hmm. But you get educated people. It's a little harder. It's a little trickier.
True.
That's where compartmentalization comes in with the military. Yes. Where they keep all the information isolated.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know what department.
Correct. And nobody else can know what's going on or figure out what's going on and try to fucking change the situation. And it's very efficient if you want a certain agenda pulled out without anybody else rebelling.
Yes.
That is the way you do it. Scientifically, yes, I affirm the military does it in the most efficient way. They have done their research. They know how to mentally manipulate human beings to get their bidding done.
Yes. Yeah. True. But in certain situations, it doesn't help move the ball forward quicker because they can't connect the dots.
Well, they think
an expert who's in propulsion can't
but
see.
But where are they getting these orders from higher above that this is going to get the ball moving in motion? They're getting orders from higher above that, yeah, this is going to get the ball moving in motion. They'll show them videos. They'll convince them that, yeah, this is what's going to make it happen. And they're convinced without a doubt because they will torture people to meet those ends. Mm-hmm. So they're obviously brainwashing them into thinking that, yeah, this is the way, buddy. Just follow us.
Yeah.
Or we're going to off you, essentially. Whether or not they've pushed that threat across.
I mean, it sucks that it's the necessary evil, but that's... It's like the arms race. Like, since our guns are pointed at them, their guns are pointed at us, like, we both are obligated to keep doing, like, these fucked up research. Like, for instance, genetically modifying people, right? Like, making super soldiers through DNA. Even though it's fucked up, right? And it's clearly immoral. And as Americans, it's kind of against what we stand
for. Yeah,
but
these people readily sign themselves up for this experimentation. So, is it immoral to them? Immoral is a personal belief.
But you have to think about, like, okay, then what about other countries that are going to implement that?
Just like, oh, and they can get a lot more fucking people will do things immorally for fucking their beliefs. I mean, that makes it even scarier.
It's just a scary race that we're in now. We're in this crazy race where we keep having to one-up each other in order to be on, like, ahead of each other.
But that's
going to
go away. And see,
you think
listen, you know what? What could liberate us from that is technology. And technology has always liberated us from that. But that's why they hold technology back.
But what about
what if we had a technological device that, like, all of a sudden, whatever you wanted to wish for was just suddenly present in a microwave box?
Yeah.
Really, what if we possessed technology to do that, and we could do that right now?
Yeah.
But, you know, the higher powers that be don't want us to have that because that's too much power.
Yeah.
That's a very real thing. Yeah. That can be a very real, you know, a situation right now. Hmm. We don't know. We're kept in the dark.
Yeah. Maybe it's all because daddy knows best. Maybe because
exactly.
They really do know best. Maybe
exactly.
Because people who run society, who are on the top, get the bigger picture.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's always a good time picking your guys' brain. Kevin, you're freaking filled with
Kevin.
Such crazy stuff. Yeah, you wind him up and he goes. Yeah, I loved all the stuff we talked about. We're going to have to definitely get you back on here. Go over
some
political stuff next. I know you had a lot to say about that, and I appreciate you keeping it for next time.
People can talk about Trump all day, you know?
Yeah,
come
definitely.
On.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for listening, everybody. If you enjoyed the podcast, hit that share button and subscribe to the channel. Thanks,
all right,
everyone.
Have a good day, everybody.
Later, guys.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, hit that thumbs up or like button, or even share this podcast with some friends. And make sure you subscribe to my channel and all listening platforms to stay up to date with all the new content coming out. That's The Matt Rich Podcast on all listening platforms. If you'd like to support the channel, visit my Patreon at patreon.com/TheMattRichPodcast. I love you all, and I will see you next time.